Motivation is a powerful tool. It stops the hand from wanting to hit the snooze button, pushes you to pull an all-nighter to finish that task, and then calls forth courage from a heart that was once paralyzed by fear. It shakes the cobwebs of laziness and moves us to get the job done. Jesus gathers the 72 who will be sent ahead of him. I'd imagine the men there had mixed feelings. Some were quite new and were wondering what this was all about. They heard good things that Jesus was doing and were along for the ride. So some of them were perhaps still reserved as to what to make of this Jesus and will follow him, at least for now. Others, perhaps, were a little hesitant. You're calling us to do something for you. This is something that I've never done before. I want to make sure I do this right. I want to make sure I do this correctly. And then there are some, perhaps, that are excited. Hey, this is a great prophet. And not just the prophet, he might be the Messiah. Then Jesus gives them their assignment: cure the sick and preach the kingdom of God. He pairs them up and then says those very memorable, soul-stirring words, "I am sending you like lambs among wolves." Wait, what? Huh? You mean wolves among lambs, right, Jesus? You mean to instill this courage within us? Surely you don't look to us as lambs as going to wolf territory. So what's exactly going on here? Well, Jesus understood the world, the forces that dominated the world and still dominate the world, and knew the opposition was real and that it would be fierce. Jesus never sugarcoated his words nor attempted to make something look better. He told it as it was, which should encourage us when we hear about how he describes heaven and how he shares the truth and the beauty there is, and of course give us that appropriately reminded sense of fear when it comes to hell. He doesn't coddle the 72, but tells them what exactly to expect. It's better that they be prepared for what's to come. You will encounter hostility and resistance. He even says, as you go forth and greet people with peace, sometimes they don't want peace. And with that, they were sent. And we hear them coming back. And as they came back, were they dejected? Were they disheartened? Were they confused? Or perhaps a little beaten up? They were found rejoicing. Rejoicing at the fact that even the demons could not withstand the name of Jesus. And Jesus knew that. He wanted them to grow in confidence and trust in him. Motivation is good, but sometimes we can't get it. You know, sometimes we try to stir that within us internally, try to remind ourselves of our goal and what it is that we want to accomplish. Or sometimes we take a look at a motivational poster or see a cat that looks into a pool of water and sees a lion staring back. You know, something in which is supposed to evoke within us, yes, you know, I'm supposed to be living my life for greatness. But sometimes it doesn't come. In the Christian life, what we need then is this overwhelming confidence and trust in the Holy Trinity, knowing that I have a loving dad in heaven, a brother in Jesus, and the advocate, our battle buddy, the Holy Spirit. Motivation won't always be there to inspire us, but faith can. We have to learn, though, in order for us to live this out, to step out in faith, to practice that. Sometimes when we operate in the faith, we use that as some kind of default response. And sometimes even it's not our primary default response. It's somewhere around there in our bag of responses. Eventually we'll get to it and draw out our faith and say, oh yeah, that's right, God is with me. Oftentimes we will instead look to our own abilities, our own gifts, our own intellect, and say, well, let me simply rely on that. And all the while, the Lord is always inviting us more and more to a life with Himself. That He wants to know every detail about us, every intimate detail about us, so much so that it's a thing in which we look to for everything. That relationship with God is so important. And so when we are trying to live our faith, it's not about just that the response in which we should have should some calamity or some difficulty befall us, but it's something that we take it out in the streets. And we have that on our sleeves and we live it with great faith. You know, where we're called to share the good news of Jesus Christ to those whom we meet. And this weekend, of course, is very good. You know, as we are celebrating 4th of July weekend, you know, so some of us might be in the company of others, you know, if we're hosting or we're happening to be traveling just that block away from us because gas is so expensive. You know, and as we go there, huh, and see other people, you know, maybe that might be an opportunity for us to share the good news. And, you know, sometimes we get pretty caught up about, you know, how that's supposed to be. You know, sometimes we think, you know, I got to get this right. I got to get this perfect. You know, when I speak about Jesus, I got to make sure I get it 100% accurate. Now, of course, there is the responsibility of making sure that we do portray Jesus as He really is and not just make Him up to whatever we want Him to be, i.e. our image and likeness. But, you know, as we go forth and share Jesus, you know, it should arise very simply from our own lived-in experience. You and I should have our own experience with Jesus, with our Lord. That faith by which we live and breathe, that faith by which causes us to be here. The faith that professes that our God is alive and well. You know, sometimes our testimony can speak to the other's heart. More than the sharing of the tenets of our faith, as good and necessary at times that is, sometimes our faith life ought to be shared first, so that others may see and realize, wow, there are actual people living this out. People who believe in Jesus. And so much so that, you know, they are willing to make sacrifices, they are willing to even do things that the world would scratch their heads and wonder, what are they doing? It's our trust in God that we need to share with others. That helps build faith. And of course, anything in which we have personally experienced in terms of prayer or our interactions with others that lead us close to God, that's also something we share as well. So I'm sure all of us have at least a story that fits one of those categories. Another thing to do is for us is to step out in faith and pray for others. You know, sometimes you might see someone who's hurt and downtrodden and, you know, maybe in the course of your conversation you find out what's wrong with the individual and, you know, instead of just simply saying, okay, well, you know, I'll pray for you, or maybe you're even a little bit shy about that, and you just say, well, I'm going to pray for the person, but I won't say anything. Oh no, I'm not going to bring religion into that. You know, come on, grow a pair, right? You know, they need to hear about Jesus. You know, we can't take that stance. We can't. The world is hungry for Christ, whether or not it knows it. Because we believe, or called to believe, should believe, that Jesus is the truth. And if He is the truth, then why do we not want to share the truth? Why do we not want to share that to others? And then there comes to the point of stepping out in faith where we contend with those things that are of the world. You know, those things in which perhaps we would rather not want to deal with, you know, those things that causes us to feel like we're lambs in the midst of wolf territory. You know, and that's something that, you know, I'm sure we've heard, especially as of late, right? You know, especially, you know, as individuals are inciting others to do violence to churches, to pregnancy centers. You know, after the overturning of Roe versus Wade, they're saying, well, we'll just vandalize the churches because, you know, they're responsible. We'll vandalize the pregnancy centers. And you, anyone who takes a step back at that, you know, can think, wait, that, does that make any sense? You know? You know, and really that's just an opportunity, right, for the agents of evil to go and work and to destroy, you know, just some excuse it needs to do that which it had wanted to do all along. And so, you know, some of us might be feeling like those lambs and going, oh, I don't want to do anything with this. You know, I don't want to be in the midst of that conflict. I don't want to be there. But, you know, we're called for a time such as this, you know, especially so that we can share with others the saving message of Jesus Christ. And you see, this world is filled with a great deal of hopelessness. And the whole point of bringing the message of Jesus Christ is to make sure that they find hope. That all of us find hope, because all of us are in need of hope. You know, and I think sometimes we might get that wrong, you know, about how it is that we should be, you know. When we think about the salvation of souls, sometimes we think, okay, well, I just got to worry about my family, or I got to worry about my friends, or, you know, maybe my neighbor. Okay, maybe my church community, that's kind of large. And it's really everybody, you know. It's even those who persecute us, even those who might want to get in our faces and might want to wish us harm and might want to do something unthinkable. You know, and that's where, you know, we might feel like, okay, yeah, I'm feeling like a lamb in the midst of wolves, but at the same token, we got to remember what happened with the disciples. You know, were they beaten up? Were they downtrodden? You know, and perhaps some of them were, but the majority, you know, are filled with rejoicing. It's because they understood who they were. They understood that they were living in confidence with who God is in their lives. Do we have that confidence? You know, sometimes as we're here in church, we're just here to check off a box, admittedly, you know. You know, I'm here because I have to, you know. And do we wonder, well, you know, do I love my faith? Do I love my God? Do I love what this faith has given me? And do I love it so much that I want to share that with others? Do I love it so much that despite the difficulties I face in life, I think we can all do better by coming to know God and make that our mission? Jesus said, he said to the 72, you know, I send you to go out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to cure the sick. And it's beautiful to hear how in his exhortation, you know, before he sends them off, he's not looking for 100% success. And sometimes we can get stuck on that. You know, especially when it comes to family members, friends whom we've been praying for, and we know there's a frustration with them. You know, we're not seeing eye to eye with them. They're not hearing us. And we think, I failed. I failed, Lord. You know, you gave me this responsibility with the people whom I love, and I feel like I'm failing. And the Lord, you know, isn't so much looking for fruit as he is faithfulness. And I think that's hard for us to not only hear, but also to understand. I mean, everything else in life, it's weighed by the fruit. If the project failed at work, you know, it was a waste of time. you got to scrap that. You got to go back to the drawing board. You know, and if you do that so many times, what happened? You know, your job might be on the line. And it seems like that's the case for a lot of things. And yet when it comes to trying to live our life in the Lord, you know, we might get so stuck on the idea of that fruitfulness that we can have a tendency to, you know, beat ourselves up, you know, when time and time again we're not seeing the fruit. You know, and that can be very disheartening. But then also, I think this is why Jesus, when he spoke with his disciples about the relation of, you know, being the ones who, you know, help the master of the harvest, you know, he says there are some things that you go out and you harvest, but, you know, and you see, so you harvest it, meaning is that you're taking in the fruit, but did you plant it? Did you plant it? You know, and they didn't. You know, someone else had planted it. Someone else had watered it. Someone else has taken care of it. But the timing just seemed to be right. And they were the ones who harvested. And the same thing when we start planting, when we start laboring in the vineyard, you know, there are going to be things in which we do and we just can't wait. Like, come on, God, make this happen. I want to see the fruit. It's going to be great. And nothing. Even to our dying breath. You know, we had the first reading from First Saturday Mass today, you know, it's from the book of the prophet Amos, and he was telling the people of Israel that the restoration of the people of Israel was coming. And it didn't come in their time. You know, it came when Jesus came. So years and years and years after. And, you know, that's something that we recognize in faith, that, you know, as long as I'm being faithful to God and what He's asking of me, then that's enough. Of course, we can do all that we can and to hurry that. We don't want to do too much, depending on the situation, but, you know, all in all, it's a bit of humility to say, it's not all dependent on me. It's not all dependent on my efforts, on what I do, you know. And I think, especially mothers and fathers, you know, can take that particularly hard, you know, when they don't see that fruit, or it's something that, you know, escapes them, it eludes them, you know. And I think that's why it's so important in our faith that we have that element of prayer, that element of faith. That we look to Jesus, we look to Our Lady, and we commend all those things to them. Say, I've tried. Yeah. And I think that's how we'll understand more and more the whole point of Jesus telling the 72 what He did. You know, instead of just giving them that motivation, He told them how it was. We need to hear how it is. But then also, on the other part of that, being confident of who we are, that we are children of the Most High God. You know, and so in operating in that faith, operating in that confidence rooted in love of God, you know, that's where we'll find the strength. Motivation we'll get sometimes. And sometimes it'll fail. But what matters is that we identify about who it is that we really are. And recognizing that will give us exactly what we need.